This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. And there's more at my website. Okay, this is a sort of winding up the year 2022. A rambling rant. So, you can read books. You can read Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman's The Manufacturing of Consent. I haven't read it, but I've looked at it, looked at the gist of it. Then you can go back and read The Engineering of Consent, an essay by Edward Bernays, first published in 1947 and the book in 1955. Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, manipulative and control freak. So he took Sigmund Freud's psychological or psychoanalytical stuff, and he put that into public relations, considered one of the premier agitators, or whatever the heck you call it, of public relations and propaganda, which is morphed now into the age of the technology and the pop-up ads and the clickbait and the phone calls, and it goes on and on, all in attempt to sell you something or manufacture or engineer your consent. Your consent to what? Your consent to the system of consumerism, the system of domination, as Stephen T. Newcomb calls it, without you knowing it, with the looty bags and the goodies and the massages and the spas all kind of put in there, mixed up with the war atrocities, so you have cognitive dissonance and you don't know what the heck's going on. That's the rambling definition of manufacturing consent. And then you have, just to give you a sense, I talk a lot about how messed up the media is, and yet you're still gonna read it, right? You're still gonna look. You're still gonna go, that must be true because somebody reported it. But if you look behind it, you would just be skeptical of every damn thing they post up there. And here's why. First, we got Karl Rove, who was the alleged Bush's brain. And here's one of my favorite quotes of his. "We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously, as you will act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors. And you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do." So that's a good summation. We create our own reality, that these people are living in a fantasy world. But the sad thing is the fantasy world is all too true, as the wars and the extractivism and the looting and the raping and stuff prove. So just to prove his point, wasn't it a nice relief when the virus, COVID virus, started to wane and things were getting back to, quote, normal? And then what happened? Wham! Now it's, billions and billions of dollars later of weapons sent to Ukraine to fight a foreign country, which really is nothing to do with the U.S.'s business whatsoever, while people are starving in this country, and business, small businesses and even large businesses are laying off workers. But let's just ship the billions of dollars of weapons to satisfy the weapons manufacturers, because that is creating other new realities, and now that's the new thing that you have to study and to learn about. And then, if you don't think that's convincing enough, here is William J. Casey, CIA director from 1981 to 1987. Quote, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything, my emphasis, everything the American public believes is false. That is the stated goal of the propaganda and the media, is to mind wash and to brainwash you beyond any recognition of truth, behind any recognition of reality, so that they can then continue with their agenda. Their agenda is, there's books and books and books and books and books and essays and essays and talks and talks and talks about it. Basically, their agenda is to control to why I call them supremacist control freaks. They think they're better. All of you will be left to study us. They think they're superior, supremacist, and they try to control everything, which is to control the resources and the finances and have the world be a gated community and a ghetto. That's basically the blueprint, a gated community and a ghetto, and then the control, so it's controlling of the masses, controlling of the populace, controlling of dissent, which involves the mining and extractivism to have the resources to feed the system. So it's basically control and suppress the populations and the wars that feed that ongoing hypersensitivity and fear. So while I was thinking about doing this show, I got what typically would start a poem for me is this little rhyme here, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. The virus waned, the exacerbation of Ukraine. So that's fun to me. See, that's how writing is fun, even though I may be writing about god-awful stuff. But that's how I make it interesting and fun for myself and hopefully the reader. And then another big story of the year, which I would say along the lines of the resources, and I want to highlight this because there's a January 5th court hearing involving Thacker Pass in Nevada, where there is camps with Native peoples and non-natives to stop the lithium mining. Lithium America now is split into two companies to avoid criminal issues, according to the protectthackerpass.org website and Facebook page. So the January 5th federal court hearings in Reno. But even the article says no matter what happens, that Lithium America will keep trying. So much effort needs to be put towards that, whether you can donate some money or go out there and protest. They ask for people to go help them and protect and protest, whatever you call it. I featured that in the calendar this year as a part of the Year of the Rabbit coming up, the sense of home and what home means to us. Now, it seems far away, especially in suburbia where everything's, you know, if I didn't read the news, I would think, man, everything's just hunky-dory. The birds are singing. Everything is just nice. I can go out and get my cappuccino, my coffee. Actually, I don't drink that much cappuccino. I just like saying it because it sounds cool. But anyway, when I go drink my coffee and drive around, you know, some annoying drivers and stuff, some annoying New Yorkers that can't wait to get to the next stoplight. But basically, hey, things are nice. But down the road near the mall is a huge Tesla driving plant. And I see Tesla cars every day, every single day. If I go for a walk, if I go around the block or I drive 30, 40 miles, odds are I'm going to see at least one Tesla. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem with that is Elon Musk was quoted as saying, fuck Earth. So he's the one that needs he's one of the ones, along with the global push, that needs the lithium for the batteries for the cars. So that's going on worldwide, and that's why there's a huge greenwashing of the system now that's going on with this big switch from fossil fuels to solar, wind, any kind of alternative. All the batteries and stuff, but nobody much is as talking about where all that comes from. When I get calls on the phone for solar panels, which is like every other day, it seems, I sometimes ask them what they're going to do, how are they going to recycle the panels, and where did the material come from, and that pretty much ends the call. But anyway, there's a wonderful book which I've mentioned before and written a review on called Bright Green Lies. And it's a significant, that's be one of my top books of the year. If I read it this year, I don't remember. Because it really shows how much the push that so many people think that they're going to change the system by going green. And basically it's just perpetuating the same system with, you know, maybe a clean spot here or there, but basically the same destruction and extractivism. So where does that leave us? It leaves us trying to change the system. How do we change the system, and how do we get out from under that engineering of consent that has us thinking this is the best way? And a book I reviewed a couple of weeks or so ago, The Psychology of Totalitarianism. That's what interests me, makes me want to read those kinds of books, is to find out why. How is it that things that seem blatantly destructive or negative in the big picture, to the earth, to the resource, to the energy sources, the clean water, how do people find it okay to go along with that while gleefully bragging about their recycled toothbrush? It just boggles the mind. It really boggles the mind. I think, though, that the answer is in the comfort zone. That's pretty much my go-to answer, is that it's the comfort zone. What would you be willing to give up? That's the question. What would you be willing to have less or do less of to make the whole world a better place? And I think some people do it in a small way, but the system, the comforts and the hooks are so enticing. It is so enticing that, whether it's buying things or whether it's the gadgets, it's so enticing to go along with that I think that's part of the gist there. And I think the other thing I want to say, I was thinking about this a lot in the past few weeks, is fear. I think ultimately, basically, it all comes to the issue of fear. And that requires a little bit of explaining, because my personal experiences over the years, as I began to wake up and get on what I call a holistic spiritual path, was that I had to face fears. I had to face discomforts. I had to face things that scared the you-know-what out of me, and sometimes literally. And that is a personal, I call it like a spiritual wrestling match. It's a personal wrestling that each of us must eventually do at some point, whether this lifetime or another lifetime, each of us must do. So I think that, without studying or getting into a whole dissertation about, I think, the whole history of the world, so I think fear is the key issue underneath it all. Around 2001, what began the War of Terror. And then the Pan is the Greek god, known for running around the woods and, having some fun times, but also causing a panic. So panic is another form of fear. Makes people react, overreact. There's fear. Back in the 1970s on the Lakota Reservation, there was what's known as the Reign of Terror. If you look at history, there'll be various things that are labeled, reign having to do with terror. But I think even on the subtle levels, the religiosity is a way to separate people from dealing with the direct experience that people have. That's part of the reason I highlighted in my book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, is one of the main things is just encouraging direct experience. The core of my spiritual path is the Kabbalah, a mystical Kabbalah, which translates basically to the personally received teaching. Personally received. Each person has their own direct, whatever you call it, direct hookup, connection, relationship, direct ability to communicate with whatever you call it. The cosmos, the universe, the creator, God, spirits, any being, really, any being, a rock, a tree, whatever you call it. But that the idea that me or you, that I could actually talk to God, I mean, people say it sort of euphemistically, but I think people find it hard to believe. And sometimes people use it in a delirious way. They say they claim to have spoken to God, but then the things they do are ungodlike in many people's common opinion. So the idea that a human being could actually literally, because we have all this religiosity thing about who God is and is too big to ever see his face and that kind of stuff, but the possibility or the actuality, in my experience, that the being, in some essence, the being that literally created the universe, that literally created everything. The stars, the moon, and on and on and on. That energy, that being, can literally speak to you and to me and to whatever. That idea, that is, to me, that's actuality, but I think we've lost touch with that, and it's an ongoing conversation, and that's part of why I just, that phrase, personally received teaching is the guiding light. Something that is meant for me is meant for me, and not meant for me to tell everybody else what to do. I try to share with my writings and this podcast, I try to share what is meaningful and helpful to me, and presumably it can help somebody else. But the idea and the actuality that energy can literally communicate, and that it's an ongoing dialogue. It's not stuck in the past. It's not stuck in, you know, God said this thousands of years ago, and now we're just trucking along trying to follow him and do our best. No, it's right now. Right now. Some days I get up in the morning and I always sit with my coffee and I sit quietly. I review my dreams. I try to do like an informal meditation, and some days I get into that for, could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Some days, like in 30 seconds, it's like, nope, something else is more important. So it's a lot about, for me, it's a lot about being in the flow and having a discipline and a kind of a routine, but it's being, realizing that someone bigger is pulling the strings. So if we're going to be stuck in our routines, and that would be, as I wrap this rambling rant up, that would be my message for now and for the year ahead, is if we are stuck in our routines and stuck in going by rote, that we're going to miss the boat, no rhyme intended, because those, the actors, the Karl Rove actors and the William Casey CIA, and they are actively busy trying to control things. They're actively busy trying to control things and trying to persuade the masses to just kind of shuffle along and things will get better. And, you know, it's, when you look at it, it's okay. But if enough people tune in to their own inherent hookup, their own inherent relationship with the creator, God, Earth, whatever you want to call that, the more people that do that, the more we can sway the balance and tip the proverbial scales that have to do with balancing the energies of the earth. And the most blatant reflection of the imbalance is the weather patterns. So tune in, turn on, and protect the earth, protect the water, protect your own sacred relationship with the creator, or whatever you call it, whatever guides you, and that it is what guides you and how you get along with everybody else. Not just because it guides you, you're the hot shot, but it's truly a humbling experience when you realize that you have a direct connection with the creator, but that is also a humbling thing, and that everybody else has that direct connection too. So thank you for listening, and be well.